God won't give you more than you can handle. I'm here to say that God will give you more than you can handle. And we're going to talk about that a little bit because we say that a lot. And there's a couple other things we say, but we're going to get into this. And a lot of that comes from mainly this verse. There are other verses, but this one here. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Now I'm going to read the message, the paraphrase of the message. It says, "No test or temptation that comes your way will be beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it." Now every time we read that, you're like, yes, God will take care of me, and God won't give me more than I can handle. Well, that's not necessarily 100% accurate. How many people know of or have suffered through something, and God hasn't taken it away? You don't have to put up your hand. Or you've seen other people suffer up until death, and they never took it away. And I just want to clarify a few things. When someone says God won't give you more than you can handle, what is happening is something they've heard through time, passed down through generations, and it's confusing. The real main issue with this misunderstanding is context, which is always a problem with misunderstandings. And in this chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul is specifically talking about temptations, wrongdoings, or as we all know it, sin, wrongdoings, doing something wrong, not suffering. You see, we talked last week about suffering, and if you didn't hear that, check online, check the podcast, it's there. You can get it on Google Play, you can get it on iTunes, but the context of what we're reading today is very important, and the context of what we read last week is very important. Paul is saying that with temptation, we have a choice. We have a choice. You see, with suffering, unless we created our problem ourselves, we don't always have a choice. Well, you know, you got health issues. There's all sorts of other things that you could put in there that you have not created, that whatever. But there are things that we do to ourselves where it could be our own doing, our own choice. And many times, these things happen completely and utterly out of our control. You get fired from work. You get other, like, these are things you can't necessarily, unless you're a really bad employee, you can't control it. And so if we believe the concept that God won't give us more than we can handle, what that does is it allows us to take all the responsibility off of us, off of me, and we blame God because God said he wouldn't give us anything more than we could handle. And we think it's in every situation. We think it's no matter where we are. Oh God, I lost my job. You said you would never do this to me. Well, that's not true. He said he'd take care of you, but he never said you'd keep your job, right? Oh, I've got this illness. I blame God. No, you can't blame God for all of that, right? Mankind, our environment, there's all sorts of other factors in there. And so we have to be careful that we don't blame God. We really have learned this from childhood, right? We talked about this before. When we do something wrong, we blame. He made me do it. She made me do it. I didn't do it. Well, then who did? I don't know. Someone. Now, Paul does say in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that God won't allow you to be tempted beyond your limits. And there's a big difference between suffering and being tempted. And that is great news, but you need to understand that when it comes to temptation, we all have a choice. We all have a choice. And there are many examples in Scripture of God giving his people more than they can handle. I don't know if you've, when you read Scriptures, I mean, sometimes when we read them, we go, well, you know, they're kind of whiny, right? All those people, all those leaders. Oh, God, you gave me all these people to deal with. Moses was given 600,000 whiny Israelites. And he's got to try and take all those people and deal with all their bickerings of, you know, his tent spikes halfway on my area of my tent spike, and he ate my manna, and I need more manna. You know, there's all these, who knows what they're arguing about, my sheep are in his area, whatever. But the point is, he had to deal with that, so he had to set up a whole system. But God gave him way more than he could handle. He couldn't even speak. And so God gave him more than he can handle. The prophet Elijah had to go give a message to King Ahab. And he provided food by the way of ravens. And because there was a drought in the land. There was no food anywhere. And God provided that for him. But he couldn't have done it on his own. And you know, there's these other people, the disciples. They were told, go, spread this gospel worldwide. Have at her. And then figure it out. That's a pretty big task, is it not? And so these are examples of how God has given people more than they can handle. Look through Judges more than they can handle. Look through any scripture, any story, and you'll find that. And so he will give you more than you can handle. Temptation is not usually what people mean when they quote, God won't give you more than you can handle. When you're suffering, they say, don't worry, God won't give you more than you can handle. Usually you're in trials or troubles or you're going through something that's not a temptation, it's just struggle, it's life. Whether it's your fault or not, it's life. And we ask, why am I going through this? God said he wouldn't give me more than I could handle. So what does it really mean? Well, to boil it all down, it's saying that God will walk you through all your struggles. This scripture says God will walk with you no matter what your age, no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening. He will walk with you through your struggles. It doesn't say he will not give you more than you can handle. It doesn't say that he will fix it. It doesn't say he will take it away. If you look at Paul, thorn in the flesh, what it does say is that he will walk with you because he wants you to rely on him. But with temptations, he will make a way out. And so there is a way out when it comes to temptations. But you have to choose. You get to make that choice. Okay. So when we look at this statement, God won't give you more than you can handle, and if we have believed that concept in the past, and if we sort of kind of like it now, let's take a few steps in correcting our perspective of this misunderstanding of Scripture, of what the Bible actually really says. So first of all, we need to understand that God can and will give you more than you can handle. The night before Jesus was executed, he cried out in the garden, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In Matthew chapter 6, 38. Jesus on the cross, this is too much. Why have you forsaken me in the Psalms? And when you read the Psalms, they say, darkness is my closest friend. What these verses teach us is that it is okay to feel like you cannot handle it. I'm here to tell you, take that burden off and lay it at Jesus' feet. If you can't handle it, you can't handle it. And it's okay. It's not a sign of weakness. You don't have to pretend you're the soldier for the Lord and suffer through it all without giving it to him. You can give it to him. And so we can cry out to God and say, this is way too much for me to handle. I can't deal with any of this. And he will walk you through this. But he will do it in the person of Jesus, where he suffers with us and he walks with us. And I could break out into song, but I won't. So when we become aware that life will give us more, when we understand the concept that God will, that life will give us more than we can handle, we can come to grips with this promise. Remember we talked last week about promises versus proverbs, right? The promise is this: God is faithful to meet us in the mess and in the pain of life. God is faithful to meet us in the pain and mess of life. So God will give you more than you can handle, but he's going to walk you through it. Secondly, to correct this perspective, we need to understand that God doesn't always give you a window of escape during struggles or trials. You remember, I don't know how it goes, but it's like, if God closes a door, then he'll open up a window. Whatever, I don't know actually the tune. But we always say, if God closes a door, go through the window. Well, that's obnoxious because maybe God closed the door for a reason. We need to think this stuff through. I hope you like my song. It'll be available on iTunes later. Don't always look for an out. Okay, don't always look for an out. With temptation, look for an out because God's going to give it to you. With struggles and trials, there might not necessarily be an out. Okay, the best question that you could ever ask God when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a trial, and this door is closed. And you know what? Any trial you can think of, when that door closes, the question is, am I supposed to actually bust through a window? Or did he close the door for a reason? Right? Have you ever been driving your car in the chaos of what is called the Langley Bypass that bypasses nothing? And as you're driving that road and you're frantically trying to get wherever you need to go, you can't get by people. And they're not moving out of the way. No one's moving out of the way. And you struggle and you struggle. And you're not going any faster. And you're like, man, if I could just get past all these cars. And then a couple minutes up the road, there's an accident that you weren't in. Because if you had gone around everybody and did all that, you could have been in that accident. It's a near miss, you might say. If you've ever had a near miss, it's pretty scary. I had one near miss while I was on a fire ground on Fraser Highway. I was walking to the big trucks with my gear and everything. I just finished dealing with this fire. I'm walking, and when we pulled up, we block everything. We shut you down. We make your day miserable so you can't go anywhere. We shut it all down. And as I'm walking towards the rescue to switch out bottles and do all that kind of stuff, it was messy and gross, I didn't realize they opened up the road. And I was trying to get back. I was sweaty and wet and gross and stinky. And I'm like, I got to get this stuff off. And somebody's like, Mark, come here. And I'm like, I'm busy. And they're like, no, come here. I need to talk to you. I'm like, phew. I said, fine. What do you need? And we had a little conversation. I'm like, okay, I got to get this stuff off. I got to get back. There's other things I got to do. And as I walk, I do one of these. And a car goes like that. Literally just about wiped me out. Scared me. I get tingles about it right now. I was this close to eating it. And I'm telling you, when God slows you down, listen. There's a reason why he tells you to slow down. Sometimes, and you all know this, sometimes he's telling you that door's closed because that door's closed. You're not going that way. Sometimes he says, just wait. We're not ready to let you in that door yet. And we wait. How many love waiting? I love waiting for Michelle when she's trying to get ready. Love it. Love it. I know you all feel the same way when you're waiting for someone. It's like, yeah, take your time. I got all day. I got nothing better to do. I'll just wait here. Do what you got to do. That's why one time I turned all the clocks back an hour and she was early. If you're newly married, don't recommend it. Don't do it. I had plenty of chips in the bank. I spent them that day. You see, don't look always for a window of escape when you're going through something. Yes, always pray, God heal, God take care, God help me, God walk me through this. But don't always try to think you got to go through. Some of the struggles I went through early on, Michelle and I with being first in the ministry, were the best times. They were horrible, actually. But they were the best learning experiences. No money, no food, didn't want to tell anyone. God provided. And that's all I got to say about it. He did what he had to do. And he took care of me, and he walked me through that. So no matter what your age, maybe you're a young kid in elementary school and you're struggling with bullying, let's walk through that. God's walking you through that. Talk to somebody. Get the help. There's that. Maybe there's other things going on in your life, sicknesses, illnesses. Maybe there's relationship problems, all that. God's going to walk with you through that, okay? So don't always look for a window of escape and look back and learn. We've been so programmed by society to ram our ideas, our thoughts, our concerns, our feelings in every situation that we have never really taken the time to sit there and wait and just wait. But I don't, I feel I need this now. Well, nobody cares. God's saying, wait. My feelings want this. My feelings want that. I deserve, no. Wait. If God tells you to wait, wait. We're always looking for answers in every single individual situation, and we never stop to see if we're actually doing the right thing, because we get it in our mind that that's the door I want. That's the door I want. We're stubborn. It's the same when I go on a road trip with the family. We're not stopping at every rest stop to go to the washroom. I passed a lot of cars. I'm focused. We're not stopping. We're going. And I'm stubborn about it. You learn that lesson once when you don't stop. We were out on the prairies. It was a bad experience. Children, I guess, don't have the control that I thought they did. So don't always be so stubborn. And it's amazing how there's no gas stations in the middle of the prairies. What's with that? Maybe somebody should open one up. Think about it. It's a business idea. Go with it. But in our weaknesses, when we go through these things, we become more strong. In times of struggles and in times of waiting, that weakness makes us stronger. Because what happens is, as we've gone through that down the road, we are able to recognize it, we are able to walk other people through it, and we're actually stronger because of it. Now, I'm not saying, give me some struggles, please. I want lots of struggles. No. But the struggles that you do have, you can walk through them with God, and then later you walk through them with other people. So don't always look for a way of escape during your struggle. Look to see what God is actually saying in your struggle. And you know, you may not be in your struggle and go, thank you, Lord, for this struggle. Please show me what I'm to learn. You may not feel that way right away. But as time goes, you will start to recognize what you need to walk through. So to correct that misunderstanding of this scripture and what the Bible really says, we need to understand, thirdly, that God will always walk with you. He will always walk with you. And that's his promise. That's his promise. It's not a proverb. It's not a proverb. It's not a general statement. It's God will always walk with you and never leave you or forsake you. Exactly. You see, when Jesus is the Lord of your life and you are trusting him enough to hand over control of everything, you no longer rely on your strength to get through difficult times. God does the heavy lifting. God's going to help you through that. And even when we don't feel like he's there walking with us, he really truly is. And so we need to follow the example of Jesus. We need to act as a community and walk alongside each other in times of difficulty and when times in life become unmanageable. When we do this, we put flesh and bone on the person of Jesus Christ, and we can be with one another in the midst of suffering, helping each other, carrying that extra weight with them, which means that we, as the body of Christ, have the opportunity, the privilege, to walk with others through their struggle. And so when we're willing to sit in the pain and to walk with one another when life's paths are difficult, and to shoulder one another's burdens and struggles and trials when they become too heavy for them, we become that promise that Christ said. We become that promise that he's given us. We become living proof that while life can sometimes be too much, when life can be out of control, through the goodness of our loving God displayed within us, we can always move forward together. So if you're looking for community, if you are looking to share, if you are looking to have support, Talk to somebody today. Get connected. Get connected whether it's in a life group, get connected in church, get connected however you need to do it. Go to the connections booth and get connected. And talk about life groups and get in a community. When you do not have a community, you become stagnant. And when you become stagnant in your faith, when you become stagnant in your biblical knowledge, you start to believe statements that God won't give you anything more than you can handle. And it's just simply not true. There are people that I've walked with, walked through, watched, go through horrible things. If that statement was accurate, they wouldn't have gone through it. And we don't want to get into another theology debate on, well, it's sin in their life. We're not getting into that. The point is this. There's people that will walk through with you. God didn't say he'd just take it away. There is the opportunity for us to pray that God will. But if he doesn't, if that door closes, you need to be willing to listen to what he's actually trying to say to you. Let's pray. Father.